Your Bible and turn to Psalm 116, right there smack in the middle of your Bible, pretty close, and Psalm 116, and you follow along as I read. I'm just going to read verses 1 through 7, and then we'll bow in prayer together. Psalm 116, beginning with verse 1. You got it? All right. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. Aren't you glad for that one? When I was in great need, he saved me. Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. I think we can say amen to that. Our junior church, I almost forgot, they're dismissed, the four-year-olds through third grade. They can go and to their place. Today, as you well know, is Father's Day 2012. Father's Day was founded over 100 years ago now by Sonora Smart Dodd. It was first celebrated in Spokane, Washington on June 19, 1910. Her father was a Civil War veteran and a single parent of six children. After hearing a sermon about mothers on Mother's Day the year before, she went to her pastor and said she thought it would be great if they had a similar day for dads, for fathers. And it really took a long time for this to become an accepted holiday. In 1966, President Lyndon B. Johnson issued the first presidential proclamation honoring fathers, designating the third Sunday in June as Father's Day. But it wasn't until 1972 that it was finally signed into law by President Richard Nixon. Thus we have it today, 40 years later. Father's Day. The goal and intention of both Mother's Day and Father's Day is biblical and is what God wants. God wants us to honor our fathers and our mothers. I'm going to talk to all sons and daughters. So if somehow you're not, that you were, you know, a test tube baby or alien from outer space or whatever, then I guess this message is not for you. But I think it can, in one way or another, apply to all of us. And so you have the little outline there that's in your bulletin. The first thing we see that Father's Day is a day of honor. It's a day of honor. What does it mean to honor our parents, to honor our mothers and our fathers? The word honor means to show respect and love. It means to ascribe worth and value to them by the way you talk to them and the way you treat them. And not just one day a year. It's very hypocritical to treat them all year long like they're not valuable or they're not important, and then all of a sudden on one day a year you give them a card, you know, or whatever. It's pretty hypocritical. See, God wants us to honor our parents every day of the year. So Father's Day is a day of honor, a day where we ascribe value and importance to our parents. But also Father's Day is a day of sadness. I do understand that for some, Father's Day, and even likewise Mother's Day, Father's Day can be a very difficult and sad day for many reasons. Sometimes those of us who don't have that in their background or don't have that in our, you know, family background stuff, we kind of forget about that because it's a very positive and joyful day with many positive and joyful memories. But not for everyone. It could be through death or divorce or even desertion. that causes Father's Day to be a little more difficult, a little more sad. I can't even imagine what this day could be like for, let's say, those whose fathers may have taken their own life. Or for those whose fathers deserted you because they loved drugs and alcohol more than you. Or having a father who was given to you by God to love, for you to love and respect and protect you. But instead they abused and hurt you in some way. See, God gave us guys the job to protect our family. That's why He made us, some of us, bigger. I'm bigger than my wife, so I'm covered. But that's why, because He says it's your job to protect them. But some, because of sin and probably their own personal issues that were never dealt with. I think often the reason why some men do some of the things they do is because they have hurts and wounds in their own heart that were never taken care of or dealt with, and many of those aren't saved. You know, they don't know the Lord. And so for many, and I understand that, and I know we all do. Lucille Ball, remember her, that crazy redhead? Lucille Ball, shortly before her death, in 1989, did a TV interview with Merv Griffin. And he asked her a very serious and pointed question. He said, "Lucille, you've lived a long time on this earth and you are a wise person. What's happened to our country? What's wrong with our children? Why are our families falling apart like they are? What's missing?" Lucille Ball answered without hesitation, "Papa's missing. Things are falling apart because Papa's gone. If Papa were here, he would fix it." And I think she nailed it. She nailed a very important problem in our culture today. It seems like statistics prove that out in our day, in our culture. See, Daddy is missing from many American homes today due to different reasons. More than a quarter of American children, nearly 17 million, do not live with their fathers. And that's the reality. That's the culture we live in. And we all understand that to be the case. We all understand that for some this day is hard. And we highly, highly respect and honor you just for showing up, knowing what this day is, knowing how hard it can be for some. If you have had an abusive parent or a parent that may have abandoned you, nothing I could ever say this morning would adequately describe how you felt or maybe are feeling today. I could not describe that, no matter how hard I would try. Nobody knows how you're feeling unless they have walked in your shoes. And we should never say, "Oh, I know how you feel." Because unless you've been there, unless you've went through it, you don't, and I don't know how they feel. But there's something that I want you to know this morning. And I don't want you to ever forget this. God loves you and will never, ever abuse or abandon you. And one more thing, and this is cool. God knows how you feel. Because He too was both abandoned and abused by His beloved. The apple of His eye, the nation of Israel. John said that He came unto His own, but His own wouldn't accept Him, wouldn't receive Him. They abandoned Him. And see, they didn't just walk out of his life. They didn't just walk away. And they didn't just abuse him. But they killed his son. Imagine you being not only abused and then abandoned, and then that person turns around and kills your son. See, he knows how you feel. Because he's walked in those shoes. Never forget that he knows. And you can turn to him, the one who knows and cares and can literally empathize with you in ways that I can't. But there are some here that can for one another in ways I could never do it because they've been there. They've experienced it. Every time one of his sons or daughters, those people who have trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord, every time those children walk away from him, ignore him, turn their back on him, he too is deeply wounded at heart. So if you've been wounded that deep because of abuse or abandonment, you more than anyone know how he feels when we do it to him. Huh? And we do it sometimes over and over. Because he is our Father. And he knows. But you know, at the very same time, out of his pain, out of his personal grief, he still chooses to love those who have abused and abandoned him. Remember what Jesus said when he's on the cross? Remember what he said? He said, Father, as they were abusing him, as they were taking his life, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And that's, what an example of love, unconditional love that he has for you and me. And aren't you glad he does? Because we've all hurt him. We've all ignored him. And he just kept loving us, waiting. So it is true. It's true this morning that just the very idea of honoring parents may seem to some nearly impossible because of the deep emotional damage that was inflicted on you. But you need to know that God's command has never changed. It's never been altered. And he's not asking you to do something that he has not already done over and over again. He chooses to forgive and be there for us, his children, who have sometimes done the same to him. Dennis Rainey, in his book, The Tribute, said this, quote, God commands us to honor our parents regardless of their performance, behavior, or dysfunction. Why? He asks. Because honoring parents demands that we live by faith. For some, it's not so hard to honor your parents. It doesn't really take a lot of faith to do that. But for others, it takes mega faith to do that. Sometimes you will have to honor them for no other reason than because you know to do so pleases God. That's why we do it. And we don't do it because we feel like it or it's out of some emotional thing. We do it because it's the right thing. We do it because God tells us to do it. Dennis Rainey, he went on and said this, that for many adults, honoring is one of the most important steps of faith they can take. And then I want to add this, and for some, the most difficult step of faith they will ever take is to obey the fifth command in the Ten Commandments. It's a choice that flows out of an obedient heart to God, not out of any kind of feeling, because those feelings could be very much negative and hard. But it's a choice. Obedience is always a choice. So why should we honor our parents in spite of whatever? Five reasons. I'm going to give you five reasons why we should honor our parents. Reason number one, because it's a command. There are 10 verses in the Bible that speak to this, that talk about this. I'm just going to give you three. I'm going to give you one out of the Old Testament, one from the Gospels, and then one from the Epistles by the Apostle Paul. Exodus 20:15, Moses says in the commandments, honor your father and mother. And then we come to the Gospels, and Jesus is speaking, and he says in Matthew 15:4, honor our fathers and our mothers. And then Paul restates all this in his epistles in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. The Apostle Paul says also, honor your fathers and mothers. It's from beginning to end. We are to do this as an act of obedience to God, our Heavenly Father, the really perfect and only perfect Father. We do it for Him, to obey Him. 1 Samuel 15:22 says this. It's on the screen there for you. Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the voice of the Lord? The answer is no. The Lord delights far more in our obedience than in the performance of any act of service or worship. Then he goes on in this verse, and he tells us why. And then God does something amazing. He likens disobedience to divination. Divination is seeking advice and wisdom from any other place or any other source than God Himself, including self. Because divination was, you know, going to some, you know, idol or you could whatever, and seeking advice from them. And he says, no, don't do that. That's divination. But then when we receive divination, when we receive the advice, when we receive the direction or the guidance or whatever it is from someone or something other than God, and then we act upon it, when we follow it, when we do it, then we're committing idolatry. Because he goes on and says, he likens it to idolatry. And there's something you need to know connected to this obedient thing. If something, it goes like this. Disobedience to God will always give the devil an opportunity to get a foothold in your life. Disobedience to the commands of God always gives the devil a foothold or a stronghold or a place of operation in your soul. That makes it pretty important, don't you think? To follow the principles and commands of Almighty God. Well, that's the first one here, reason number one. Because God commands it so. If that was it, that'd be enough. Reason number two, it's found in Leviticus 19:32, because it shows respect for God. It says, rise in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, and revere your God, for I am the Lord. This says that when we show honor and respect to the aged, that surely would include our elderly parents. We are, in fact, as we do that, we're showing reverence and respect and fear towards God in doing that. Now, if that's true, if what he says there is true, then the opposite must also be true. If we're not honoring and respecting and obeying that fifth command, then we are not reverencing and respecting and honoring God. By the way, I like the first part. I can't wait to the day I walk in the room and all my family stands up. It's never happened. Maybe I'm not old enough. Jack, has it hit you yet? If you walk into a room and everybody rises? Oh. Maybe at 103. But reason number two is because it's one way that we show respect and honor to God Himself. Reason number three, this is found in Matthew 15:4. Here Jesus says, Matthew 15:4, "For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. Have you ever swore at your parents? Have you ever been guilty of that? God says it's worthy of death." That tells me, as far as God is concerned, it's serious stuff. If it meant the death penalty that went along with murder and all sorts of stuff in the Old Testament. Proverbs 30 verse 17, it says this. Proverbs 30:17, talking about this. He says, "The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures." That's pretty graphic as far as God is concerned when it comes to this particular commandment. In Matthew 15, Jesus is talking to some Pharisees and teachers of the law who were not honoring their parents by not taking care of them. Notice what Jesus says about them, those Pharisees, those religious leaders and teachers. He says this in verse 8. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Today we would say, well, they go to church and they sing the songs and they pray the prayers and they put money in the offering. Yet at the same time, they're not honoring their parents. That's indicating, as far as verse 8 is concerned, that's indicating that their hearts are far from God. So why should we honor mom and dad? Because when we do it, it indicates we have a heart for God, that we belong to God, that we love God more than anything else. And He's the one that says to do it. And He's the one we want to revere and we want to honor through doing it. That's the first three. Number four. Fourth reason. Reason number four we find in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 and 3. It says, "Honor your father and mother," which is the first commandment with a promise. Then He tells us this. He tells us why we should do this. He says, well, "that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." That it may go well with you? You want God to bless your life? Now, if what that says is true, which I believe it is, if you don't honor your parents, things will not go well with you, He says. Ron Meal, Pastor Ron Meal, said this. He said, "Why should we honor father and mother? So that we might live. So that we might not be weighed down or taken captive by bitterness. So that we might not come to destruction. So that we might enjoy God's good gifts to us through the days of our lives." The Lord is saying, would you do this? Would you honor your father and mother that I gave you? And if you do, things will go well with you, He says. If you are careful to do this, I will honor your life. I will bless your life. I will extend your life. Because I love you. However, I must warn you, if you violate this command, it will affect the whole fabric of your life. See, the Bible also says we reap what we sow. We're always sowing seeds in life. And in everything we do or say, we're going to reap fruit. From that. from what we've planted. Well, reason number five, our last reason, reason number five. Because you will get what you give. Because you will get what you give. Psalm 7:16 says the trouble he causes recoils on himself. His violence comes down on his own head. We get what we give. And there's a great story that illustrates this point and that I want to read. Once there was an older man whose eyes blinked more than they should have and whose hands trembled uncontrollably. Because he had no place to live, he moved in with his son's family. His son's wife wasn't exactly thrilled about it. And she especially hated this at the dinner table, where the constant clinging of the silverware and the sloshing of his drinks were more than she could bear. Finally, in her anger and exasperation, she insisted that he eat his meals alone in the corner, separated from the rest of the family. So he began to eat alone, looking wistfully at the family sitting at the table. But then one day his hands were shaking so much that he knocked his bowl on the floor, spilling his meal all over the brand new carpet. "That just does it," the daughter-in-law screamed. "If you're going to eat like a pig, then we'll feed you like a pig." So she made a wooden trough, put it on the floor, and told him that he would have to eat out of that trough. So he did. Well, one afternoon, a few days later, the parents noticed the children playing in the shed. And the kids were building something. So the parents asked, "Well, what are you building?" The children responded, "A trough for you when you get old." Well, the story says she brought him back in and started to treat him with kid gloves. See, that story came from Grimm's Fairy Tales, and Stuart Briscoe said this about that story. He wrote this: "The moral of the story is honor your father and mother, because one day you'll want your children to do the same to you. Your children will learn how to honor you from observing how you honor your parents." He says, "These are good reasons for honoring our parents, but in today's society, it has become increasingly hard to live in the kind of environment that supports these rules." And I think he's right. Well, we see that Father's Day is a day of honor, and Father's Day is for some, and I think that some is growing. Every year is growing, that sum that have this day as a sad day, a difficult day. But that brings us to our third point. You always got to come around to the positive. Father's Day, a day of change. Father's Day, a day of change. Maybe for you, Father's Day is a sad, painful day because you were abused or abandoned. I want to tell you this morning that there is hope and there is freedom available for you. You can be happy again. You can love and be loved again. In spite of the past, in spite of what people have done to you, or against you, or even those you love. But there's something you have to do. First, if you haven't this morning, you need to repent of your sin and turn to Christ, confessing your sin and believing in Him as your Savior. If you've never been born again, if you've never been saved, if you've never become a child of the living God, where now He's your Heavenly Father, because you've been adopted into His family through faith in Christ, if you've never done that, you need to do that. Because apart from that, there's no help. And what little help the world does offer, what good is it if you go and leave this life and this world and you find yourself in hell forever? I would encourage you on this Father's Day to turn to Him, repent of your sin, trust in Him, as your personal Lord and Savior. And then He will forgive you of all your sins and give you the gift of eternal life. Maybe that's what you need. And you know when He does that? Then the process of beginning to heal your hurts can start for you. Well, once you become a child of the living God, and you're placed on the now on the road to recovery. So you got to get on the road first. Celebrate Recovery talks about the road to recovery, the road to healing. Well, there's only one way to get on the road, and that's through faith in Christ. Once you've done that, and you've got on the road to healing, the road to recovery, there are four critical steps that you must take if you want to begin the process of being sanctified, delivered, and set free. Here's what you need to do. Step number one, admission. Admission or admit. It will take an honest admission of the abuse and the pain that it caused. You'll have to look it straight in the face. You won't be able to bury it any longer. You will have to do that if you want to be healed. If you want victory, you must choose not to bury it any longer. You must stop trying to hide it down in the chambers, the hidden chambers of your soul. See, it never goes away. I believe that when you hide it down in the hidden chambers of your soul, which is a protective mechanism that we do, that it only becomes more rotten there. And it will one day affect your attitude, your heart, your life. You must bring it out into the light of God's grace. And then, once you do that hard thing, very hard thing, you must by faith give it all to God. You must give the abuse and the abandonment and the pain and the hurt and everything else that goes along with that. The bitterness and anger and hate and even the vengeance. You must by faith give it all to God. You must be able to look at the cross and you must see all of those things nailed there. And once you realize that all of that was placed on Him and nailed to the cross, then you must count it as dead. You see, you do all this by faith, not feelings. It's a choice of faith that we make. You must, by faith, do that. You must see it all crucified with Christ. When you seek by faith to do that, then the power of God is let loose, is opened up for you. At that point, the chains that have held you down will be broken. Because see, you're chained to the bitterness and the anger and the hate and the vengeance and the pain, even though you've hit it. But you're still chained to it. And the cross is the only thing that will break the chain. It's His power that breaks that chain. It's through His death and His resurrection that the chain is broken. The next step is prayer. Once you've done that, the next one is prayer. Once you've brought it out in the open and taken it to the cross and countered it by faith as dead, then you must begin to start to pray for the one who abused and abandoned you. You must pray for them. You must first pray for their salvation, if they're not saved, that God would save them. Undeserving as they are, but so are we in God's sight. You need to pray for those who hurt you. Those who have caused that deep hurt. You need to pray that God would show them the hurt in their own life. that wound in their own life that's causing all this stuff to flow out, and then they do what they do. So they can be healthy and free. So you need to pray. There's a third one. Notice how it seems like each one of these gets more difficult. You need to face it. You need to take it to Christ and let Him deal with it. And then you need to pray for Him. And then you need to seek, number three, forgiveness. With God's help, you need to forgive them. Now, forgiveness is not saying that whatever they did is now not wrong anymore. It's wrong. It's just as wrong. It always will be wrong. So it's not saying that. Forgiveness also doesn't mean there'll be no consequences. Because there will. There's consequences. Because we sow what we reap. Or we reap what we sow. That's the way it goes. All that forgiveness means is that you have let go of it. You've let go of all of it. And you've given it to God to deal with in His way, in His timing. And He is much more able to deal with it than you and I are. And as a result, when you do that, you will be set free of living in bondage to the fear and hate and anger and bitterness. You will finally be able to, for the first time, be able to love again. You will also be able to receive love, maybe for the first time since that happened, to receive love. You can choose not to forgive. You can choose not to do anything that I just said you must do to the one that may have hurt you, abused you, abandoned you. But Jesus said this in Matthew 18:34. And you might think this isn't fair, but it's just the way it is. Jesus said, "You will be tortured." 18:34. You will be tortured by that anger and that hate and that bitterness and that unforgiveness. You will be the one tortured, not them. They probably don't have a clue, don't even care, most. That brings us to step number four. After you take these steps, you work through these things. Here's the fourth one. This one is pattern. Step number four, pattern. As a Christian, you can choose to pattern your life after your Heavenly Father, not after your abusive earthly parent or some other person. You've heard this story. An abusive person, then abused person becomes an abusive. But here you don't have to when you know Christ. That whole thing can stop because of His power and His grace and His strength. You can pattern you, if you choose to, your life after your Heavenly Father. And that change that we're talking about can start today, Father's Day 2012. Remember, sanctification, change, is progressive. It's, I believe, lifelong. I think we're going to be progressively changing and being sanctified in our lives until we're in the grave. Because we're trying to become like God. We're trying to become like Jesus, the perfect Father, the perfect man, the perfect woman. He's our example. Well, today's Father's Day. Wouldn't it be cool for you if it would become a day of change? Maybe that's salvation. You go, "Pastor Bill, I'm not saved. Or I don't know if I am." Well, you can make sure today. There are those that can pray with you and talk with you. Maybe you're here and you're saved, but you know, you're sad. You're in pain. God came to set you free, to give you peace and give you joy. That's why He came. Father, we thank You. We thank You that You know and You understand because You've walked in those shoes. And You still love us anyhow. And You're still there for us if we would just turn to You and trust You and believe in You and rely on You and confess to You, whatever we have to do. Our Heavenly Father wants to help. Our Heavenly Father is grieved when He sees His children grieved and in pain. He wants His children to be happy and contented and joyful and excited. Father, that's, I know, what all of us fathers want for those we know, and especially our children and grandchildren, that they would live lives of peace and joyful happiness and contentment and usefulness. Lord, that's our prayer. We join You, our Heavenly Father, in this prayer because I believe and know that it's what He wants too. And we pray these things in Your Son's name. Amen. We're going to close a little bit different. I have a song that's going to be on the screen here that's kind of a special song.